But we understand this, it was 30 more years before he had the child of promise. Abraham didn't just sit on his duff waiting for it all to happen, correct? But that's sometimes how we treat faith. Faith must have action. Faith must have a belief component. But faith must be confident that God will do what he says he will do.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And throughout the Word of God, we see that God responds to faith. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part one of A Transforming Faith.
So again, this is the seventh and final message in our series. And in this series, we have defined faith in a way that is scripturally supported. I believe we should do that, because if we get faith wrong, then everything else is messed up, correct? So it's important that we define faith correctly from the Word of God, rather than having a definition of faith that is secular or straight out of the dictionary. And there's nothing wrong with those, but it doesn't really fully explain what faith is. So we have to get our definition of faith from the Word of God, correct? So when we look at the Word of God, we can't turn to the vocabulary words in the back. That's not how it works. But what we can do is we can look at different examples and aspects of faith throughout the Word of God. Now, in this series, we define faith as this way. Faith is action based upon belief and sustained by confidence, kind of an ABC, if you will. But faith is action based upon belief and sustained by confidence. Now, with that said, I'm not going to stand up here and say, that is it, that explains it all, and that's the way it is. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say this is the best, most perfect definition, but I think it's a good place to start from. And this definition of faith does contain some components that you have to have in faith. Obviously, you need belief, you need action, and you need confidence, or you don't have faith at all. So I just kind of give you an ABC kind of definition of faith. That's what we've been working for, kind of a guiding principle, if you will, throughout this series. And so what I'm going to do here for just a moment is just kind of do a little review. According to the New Testament, Abraham is our faith father. And when you think of Abraham, you say, well, why is Abraham our faith father? It's because when God called him, his response was by faith. Remember, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. When we think of Abraham's faith, is Abraham's faith just conceptual, or is there something more? Is it more than something mental? Is it, you know, when we look at his example, since he's our faith father, then we should look at his life as an example, correct? And so in Abraham's life, if you're familiar with Abraham's story, I mean, think about what God did. God called Abraham out of his country, away from his family, and Abraham's not a young man. He's in his 70s. God calls him at that point. I mean, by 70, you're pretty comfortable, right? And so God calls him in the later part of his life to a place, to a country that would be his, and to start a family, to start a nation there at that age. I mean, that was just the beginning point. But we understand this. It was 30 more years before he had the child of promise. Abraham didn't just sit on his duff waiting for it all to happen, correct? But that's sometimes how we treat faith. Faith must have action. Faith must have a belief component. But faith must be confident that God will do what he says he will do. When God called Abraham away from his country, Abraham acted in faith, and his faith example we can see throughout the Word of God. And that's why he's a faith father. Many people in our world claim to have faith and claim to be people of faith, but in reality what they have is belief. And belief and faith are completely different, although belief is, a necessary component. But in the case of faith, you must have certain components. And so action, I believe, is there. Confidence is there, and belief is part of that. In this series, we talked about a saving faith. Everyone say a saving faith so I know you're with me. All right, fantastic. A saving faith. We are saved by grace through what? Faith. Grace is realized through faith. We come into contact with the promises and the blessings of God through faith. In this series, we talked about an obedient faith, which is expressed when we take God at His word and we act obedient toward His revealed will or maybe His written word. But it's an act of obedience. We act obediently by faith. We may not know or understand it all, but when God calls us to do something, we do it. A great example of obedient faith, again, is Abraham. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make a great people of you. Abraham had to step out and he had to go do it. He had an obedient faith. We talked about an authoritative faith, which again is a faith that recognizes the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. All power, all authority has been given to who? Jesus. All right, someone got it. There we go. He says that all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. When we have faith in Christ, remember that it's an authoritative faith. He has all power. The next part of our series was a denying faith. A denying faith is a faith that recognizes the power of God. God can do all things. God can do this. God can do that. But when it comes to personal experience, when it comes to experiencing God on a daily basis, it's a different story. And that's what I mean by a denying faith. We can talk a good talk, but we don't necessarily have the walk that follows it. Talked about a confident faith, which is a faith that is confident in God fulfilling His promises. If God said He will do it, He's going to do it. Amen? That's a confident faith. I would say this, if we lack confidence in our faith, we don't have faith at all. So faith must have a confident component. And then last week we talked about our faith potential. Look around for just a second. Every person in this room has potential. Every person in this room has potential. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. As long as you have breath in your body, you have potential. Every person on planet Earth has the potential to become a child of God. Did you know that? Every person, God has dealt to every person a measure of faith. I don't care how far down the road they are, how bad they are, their life can be changed, their life can be transformed. They all have the ability because they have a component of faith. God has dealt to them faith. And so if they can be saved, guess what they have? Potential. Potential to accomplish God's will and do. I believe that every person in here was created for a specific purpose, don't you? Yes. I believe that. That God has a plan and a purpose for your life. So every person in here has potential. That when we come to Christ, we can live up to our full potential in Christ as children of God. This morning, I want to talk to you about a transforming faith. A transforming faith. A faith that results in our transformation as believers. A faith that promotes ongoing transformation, resulting in spiritual maturity. How many of you believe that we should be mature in our faith? Absolutely. So here's the question I want to ask you. Does your faith demonstrate transformation beyond new birth? Because if you are born again, you were changed. So now, do you have ongoing transformation in your life? See, it's not just good enough to get saved. It's a matter then of coming to Christ, serving Him, growing in Him, maturing in Him, producing spiritual fruit. We can keep on going, walking in our purpose, living out our potential. Maturity, growth. Does your faith lead to the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your daily life as a believer? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we're going to be in verses 1 and 3. We're going to be in the book of Acts quite a bit today. We are saved by grace through faith. And our introduction into the body of Christ is realized by faith. When we enter the kingdom of God, by faith, we experience new birth. The Holy Spirit changes us. Now, if you say, well, Pastor, I wasn't changed, then I would say this, then are you born again? How can you be born again? You have to. Transformation has to occur. When you and I came to faith in Jesus, we should have experienced new birth. Something should have changed in us. And if we did not experience this, we don't really have a relationship with Jesus. We have religion. And can I tell you, religion doesn't save anyone. In fact, religion will just make you more religious. Jesus said, and this is His own words, you must be born again, period. You must be born again. Now think about his words. And he explained that to Nicodemus very carefully. And Nicodemus was on the right track. How can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? He understood it meant newness of life. It meant something different. It meant a change. It meant a starting over. That's a change. That's a transformation, correct? If you're born again, something should have changed inside of you when you came to Christ. New birth occurs when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. Listen, I can't make you born again. You can't make yourself born again. You can't even make yourself better. That has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. Do you know you can dress yourself up fine and dandy? You're going to get dirty sooner or later. You're going to spill coffee all over yourself. Same way when our walk with God. I do it all the time. Listen, I've ruined so many stinking white t-shirts. It's ridiculous. I don't have the smarts enough when I go home to get out of the white t-shirt. Somehow, coffee and food finds itself right here. It's just ridiculous. My wife is just irritated with me. I'm ready to go buy some new white t-shirts again because I've just ruined them all. But sooner or later, we're going to get dirty. My point is this, that when it comes to being clean before God, growing, maturing, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. We have to be partners to it. It doesn't happen automatically by itself. That's where faith comes in. But it's a work of the Spirit, and we have to realize that. I'm going to show you, I think, probably perhaps the greatest example in the Bible of a transformed life, I believe, is the Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 3. Now Saul was consenting to his death, meaning Stephen. Remember, Stephen is the first martyr of the church. So Saul, we know later on, as Paul identifies himself as Saul, and so there's no confusion here. Saul is Paul. It's the same person. So now Saul was consenting to his death against Stephen, and at the time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Most of the Christians were huddled in Jerusalem at this time. And they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Verse 3, look at this. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Paul was a religious leader within Judaism in that day. Paul has obviously some type of authority as well. He's consenting. He's giving permission. He's saying, listen, you boys go ahead and stone him. I'll take up the responsibility for it. What he's saying is, I'm the original religious official in charge of his death. That's why he's consenting. So Paul obviously has a position of authority in the death of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Paul was a Pharisee. He was opposed very vigorously the existence of Christianity. His view was this, to wipe it off the face of the map. It is going to get into Judaism, and it's going to cause confusion and chaos. And so he vigorously defended his actions, and what he did was he was going to eradicate Christianity personally if he had to do it himself. Now flip over to chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 1. Then Saul, same Paul, again, Saul, Paul. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. I wanted to stop there for just a second. Paul was not only condemning people to prison, he was condemning people to death. We think of Moses as a murderer. Paul has a lot of blood on his hands.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you were blessed by this message and your faith encouraged. Be confident in the Lord Jesus, confident in his love, his mercy, and his ability to do what he says he can do. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Or you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.